I want to talk about the treasury of the heart, this place that the Father invites us to come and dream with Him. I heard Bill Johnson talk about this. He said, there comes a place you get with a Father and He invites you to come and dream with Him. And He dreams in the realm of the heart. When God spoke to Abraham early, I mean, when he was 75, one of the first things He tells them, He says, look at the stars of the heaven. He's already seeding His belief system with the promise and the imagery of what He wanted to believe. And He said, look at the sand of the seashore. But He looked for 24 years. And back in those days, I mean, all you had to do is look up at night, because they didn't even light city lights. The heavens were filled with stars. You could see them all. And the sand of the seashore. And so they did that for 24 years, but it never took the effect. It's not until what God tells you to look at gets in here. What God's telling you to look at. See, your promise, He'll sow it into the heart. He'll sow your promise. But when we were talking about, we've come to this level now where that promise must conceive. Like Sarah conceived. Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Ghost, and she conceived by dunamis, creative power. There's this power in heaven called dunamis by which every living thing has been created on the earth. Hallelujah forever. That dunamis does a lot, but there's a dunamis creative power that causes a conception for your promise. And when that happens, that's when God authorizes. He authorizes what's in you to come forth. That's when He comes in and He begins to invite you to dream with Him. Amen. One of the things I've been sharing lately about believing God in the heart is one of the things the Lord said. Before you even do this, before you pray to the Father, because if you pray to the Father, He will give it to you. And then I'll do it for you. The Godhead is all involved. Listen, when you're dealing in promise and you're dealing with large things in God, every one of them are involved. And you need to know their roles. And we're understanding the roles of the Godhead, because everyone has a role. Amen. To play. You have a role to play. These people think, oh, God will just do it. No, He won't just do it. He's going to do it through somebody. And that person must learn how to divinely cooperate with Him. There is a place in you where I can't do it, and you got to get there. Amen? How many of you ever got there? I myself, I can't do it. You're halfway there. It's good you get to the place where you can't do it. As long as you can do it, you're still in the realm of possibility. God's realm is the realm of impossibility. He dwells in the realm of the impossible. That's where He's going to bring His people in this hour to manifest the kingdom of impossibility. That's far beyond anything we could have ever done. That's far above anything we could have ever done. If you can't do it, that's a good thing. If it's way above you, that's a good thing. Why do you need to pray to God for something you can do? You don't need to pray to God for something you can do. If you can do it, do it. Because if God's assigning it to you, trust me, it's way above you. Amen? And that's a good thing. Now, if it's way above you, you quickly come to the place where I can't do it, and then you have to come to the place where you learn how to do it. There are more people, and I'll give you a show of hands, how many people in here are sitting on a promise that has been unfulfilled? Raise your hand. Look at those hands. If I went anywhere in the body of Christ, in any nation, I'd get the same amount of hands raised. One of the greatest needs I'm understanding now in the body of Christ, people are living in a frustrated position because they're carrying a promise they don't know how to get into the earth. And that is a frustration beyond frustration. If we don't know how God does this in the body of Christ, and the things I'm listening to, I can tell you, they don't know how to get their promise into the earth. And this is what God's bringing forth, the kind of mysteries and revelation of how to birth the God-given. Because we are a destiny generation. Destiny, we are the final bridal company that will rule and reign with Him before we get lifted out of here. Do not even think He's coming for a dead church. He will not. His church will be in her prime. She will be alive, well, and she will be devil stomping, mountain moving. And it don't look anything like it looks now. But to do that, the destiny that God has planted in this generation, all of that hidden destiny, all of that promise must come into fullness. And God's going to bring the promises of God that he's laid in his people and he's planted in his people. A promised generation is about to come into fruition. Amen. And we can prophesy that all day long, but until we understand how he brings that destiny to fruition, we can wait. David, 13 years. Joseph, 13 years. Abraham, 25 years. Moses, 40 years. There is a preparatory process with heaven. I'll get us ready. But we have to understand how to dream with God. What he's looking for is he wants to come and dream with you. He wants you to dream simultaneously his dream for your life. And trust me, God's dream for your life includes you. There are so many people that don't, well, it's just about the kingdom. Not about me, just about the kingdom. Don't you understand? It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Give you. It's going to be about you too. What God didn't want you to do is try to take what he's promised you in the kingdom and go try to fulfill it in the world. He wants to be involved in the fulfillment of his God-given dream for your life. Multiple dreams, multiple rivers. He wants to author it. He wants to be involved with it. He wants to dream and you dream with him. Amen? And there's a place all that happens. And that's in the realm of the heart. Amen? But there's things that have to get prepared. That's why when the Lord said, before you pray, let me introduce you to the Father. Let me introduce you to his love. Let me bring you to where I am. Let my Father love you the way he loves me. Do you know that that's the Lord's prayer, that the Father would love you, every one of us individually, the same way he loves the Lord? That we'd have the same relationship with him the Lord had when he walked the earth. Imagine that. He said, now, to dream with God, we have to understand there's a dream realm every one of us, born again sons and daughters, have. And the dream realm is in the realm of the heart. I tell Anna sometimes, I'm like, I come out of this realm of the heart, I'm like, this is a very large place. Listen, your heart is not this little box right here. Your heart's way larger than that. It gives you access to an unlimited kingdom. That's why he said the kingdom of God is what? Within. Say within. Within you. So, I want you to look at Luke chapter 6 for a moment. Luke 6, verse 45. Now, Proverbs kind of alluded to this, but listen to what he said. Luke 6, 45 says, the good man out of the what? Good treasure. Say good treasure. Of his what? Heart bringeth forth good things. Where does it come for? The heart. An evil man out of the evil or dark treasures of his heart bringeth forth darkness. The heart is the birthing center of your life. There is a dominion mechanism that God has placed in every person. The world can tap into it. But there's a difference between tapping it into the world. They call it the secret. Oprah got on there. If you like Oprah, I like Oprah. Anyway, she had all these people on there. They're all new age people and they're all talking about, they know the secret. They've tapped into the secret. I'm thinking, tapped into the secret. Say, this is universal secret. We all tap into this consciousness of positivity. I'm like, you're just tapping into a mechanism God gave to man that the devil stole and corrupted. But there's a difference between that and the kingdom. Because that's still along the lines of what man can do. When the kingdom gets involved, it goes beyond what man can do because the Father's involved with it. The Father's involved with your dream. He's going to get very intimately involved with your dream. This is the part I miss forever in faith. I've moved some mountains in faith, but I missed this part. I didn't understand just how much the Father will get involved with our dream. I always thought, I pray, I hold the Constitution, you answer, we do. You know, you're up here, Father, I'm here. That is not the way it happens. When the Father brings the conception, now we've taught along, so I got to move forward. You can get the priesthood. When the Father conceives and he grants the dunamis for conception, he comes with the promise and he sets up shop in your heart. The Lord said he would come and dwell. The Lord said, my Father and I, he'll love you. Then my Father and I will come make our abode within you. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them and I will be a father to them. Amen. When the Father comes, he's authorizing an invitation for you to dream with him. When he sends the word, when the Lord sends his word out of heaven, even a promised state, it's an authorization, it's a promise to come and dream with me. Let's dream a dream that you can't do, but I can do through you. Let's dream a dream. When God calls you with a promise, it's a dream. I want to dream with you. That's why the enemy comes early in life. Because part of that dream realm is going to revolving around what I call the sanctified imagination. God's going to seed your ability to see. Without an imagination, you can't see. But it's not just imagination born out of self. It's an imagination born and seeded by a promise in God. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs says that a man thinketh in his what? Heart. I thought with my mind. Thinketh in the heart. It's the heart. Thinketh in his heart. That word thinketh means gatekeeper. Acts as a gatekeeper. I'm going to share an encounter I had probably about 10 years ago. It was around the time we were getting the revelation of spiritual constitution, all of that, and God's been building something powerful. And I remember I was in Immokalee, Florida, but I was ministering that morning. The Spirit of God just came over me in prayer one morning, and I was caught up into an encounter with God. And all of a sudden, I was moving up. I mean, I was moving up. And I was consciously aware of a lot of things. And as I was moving up, I began to see it looked like a golden city full of gold with millions of people in it. It looked like maybe the New York skyline times four, just sprawling out. And as I was going up, I was looking at it. I was so attractive because all these people were in it and they were the blessing. I just knew things about it. The blessing of God was everywhere. And the people of God were enjoying this place. And I was going this way and God was going this way. We kept going up and he goes, I just wanted you to see that. This is what he said to me. He's like right here and I don't know how to explain all that, but he said, this is the room. He called it a room. He goes, this is the room of my blessing. He goes, most of my people that are operating in my blessing in the earth are moving in and out of this room here. And I said, well, I'm thinking, well, get me in there. But as we were doing, we kept moving up and all of a sudden we moved through this. It looked like a cloud. It was a skyline cloud. We were moving up through that and I see nothing but cloud. And then we emerged at the top of this encounter, and I was standing on top of a mountain. And this mountain had an ancient gate in front of it, and that gate was open, and it said on the top of it, room of inheritance. And he said, this room is different than the one you saw before. It has a completely, now he's trying to explain something to me that I had no grid for at the time, but I thought I did, but I didn't. And he goes, most of my people are operating in the room that you saw before. This room requires a different level of training. And he told me some things about myself concerning that room, but I got to walk in it. And I walked inside. It was very dark, but you could see things. It was dark inside there, but you could see wealth and gold and stocks. And I mean, just piled endless. The way I'd explain it to you, ever saw the movie, National Treasure. You remember when they lit the fire? You know, they're standing in the room, they're trying to look at the end and they can't see anything. And you lit the fire and then it just goes on and on and on and on. And those rivers of oil just went in and all of a sudden they lit the whole room and that treasure been stored there for thousands. That's what it looked like, but I could see, but it was still dark and I'm thinking, cause you know, when you're in the spirit, you don't have to actually say a word. You can communicate by thought. So I'm thinking, why is it dark? And immediately the Lord says to me, he said, it's dark for two reasons. He said, it's dark because most of what you see is presently under the enemy's control. And he said, the second reason it's dark is because my church has so little light concerning this realm. Most of the light is in the golden city you saw that was lit up. That's where they're operating. That's where all the light is. That's what's being basically taught, trained, and equipped for. He goes, my people must come into this arena in the last days. And all the, he said this to me so clearly. He said, all that's in this mountain must be released before my return. And I'm like, whoa. When you're in the spirit, it all kind of makes sense. You know, it's when you get out of the spirit and you're trying to think about what happened, you know. And so he had his key. He said, you're going to need this key. And it was a block. If imagine like a foot and a half block, 6 inches wide, and a key carved out. And it, just pure glory, like a block of glory is all I can explain what it was. He took that key and he shoved it into my spirit. And the vision ended. Well, the encounter ended because it was more of an encounter. And I go, oh my God, immediately I get this revelation about the employment of the sanctified imagination. And back then I thought, man, this is it. And I actually preached the whole message since I've taken off the website because it was only partial part. And back then I thought it was the whole key, but it was only a very partial part of the revelation. The true key came in multiple keys. It's been moving that way since we've moved in the right hand of God. Now, because he's culminating things, have I lost you yet? Okay, praise God. Now that he's culminating things, I'm understanding that God's key, every time he gives you a key, many times it'll have multiple keys in it. And whenever God gives you a key, sometime it'll take you 10 different revelations to understand one key, or 10 keys become one key. Does that make sense? With God, it's like that. And if they're very large, very powerful keys, because he says, I give you the keys, plural, of the kingdom, it's going to take multiple operations to understand how the kingdom works. Amen? That's why we're not getting kingdom result, because we don't understand how the kingdom works. It's not God that's withholding the kingdom, because it's impossible. No good thing will he withhold. Amen? Say, no good thing will he withhold. He's not withholding. The enemy would like you to think it's God withholding, but it's not. It's mostly because we don't understand how the kingdom works. We don't understand the fullness of how God has set up the kingdom for transference. Once we begin to understand how that works, then we're going to begin birthing in. Now, different men, even men that have been sent in our former generation, they've caught different aspects of this. We talked about Paul Yonggi Cho has the largest church in the world. He caught something of how the kingdom works. He understood that the kingdom would move in. He called it the fourth dimension, but you would actually become spiritually pregnant with the kingdom of God. And he'd say, I have babies in me. I have babies. I have a church in me. I have a newspaper in me. And it ended up, this man learned how to birth. And he birthed the largest single church in the whole world. Very simple guy when he preaches. But they packing out, and one time they were putting 50,000 people 10 times a day in one sanctuary. But he caught something in the spirit. See, says, a man thinketh in his heart. Now, it's not something like, okay, I got this little promise. I'm gonna think positive to where I'm gonna stay positive. I'm gonna confess the word and it's all gonna happen. Now there is a operation of confession, but there's a more power because I move mountains. The Lord let me do this with just sheer confession. Had nothing to do with knowing the Father. I just moved it because I confessed the word for 11 hours a day and moved the spirit of poverty out of my life doing it. It took me 11 months, but it was a glorious day when that happened. Praise God. But that didn't involve a lot of relationship. I was miserable most of the time. This realm I'm talking about involves Father. Say Father. And he's there and you're dreaming with him in his love. And it's taking place in the heart, the good treasure of the heart. See, he plants the heavens in the heart, the Bible says. He'll plant the heavens. See, he'll give you a promise. How many of you have a literal promise of God and you raise your hand? See, God is faithful to grant that promise to you. He's going to put that promise in you, but that promise needs conception. Once it conceives, the Father comes in. This is what I was telling Chuck the other day. I'm like, everybody needs to experience this in their lifetime. There's two things you need to experience in this life. Three, four, five. No, you need to experience the Lily's grace. Just a phenomenal place. The second great thing you need to experience is the Father's love. The third one is the Father dwelling with you in your promise, in your heart, in a conceived place. When you learn to do this, you're going to move into the realm of impossibility. Because when the Father conceives and he releases the dunamis and he comes to dwell, there's no more doubt or unbelief. Now the enemy will engage your heart. There's no doubt about it. He knows how to wage a warfare against you. That's why God designed this to be done outside of this jurisdiction. Don't sit up in this jurisdiction and just think about things. You're doing things in the natural. You got to get out of this jurisdiction. You got to get where God dwells. Amen. You got to get in the realm of the spirit. We teach you how to do this. You get your heart there. You get connected with God. It's not nearly as difficult as you think it is. If you learn how to do it, amen. Once you start dwelling with God, that's where your heart, you're fully in tune with what's going on in here, amen. Now, what God does when he comes to dwell with your promise, he's dwelling with an image that he has exploded on the inside of you. It's a promise that not only could see, but now it's come alive and it's full of imagery. So part of that message that I taught a long time ago about the sanctified imagination, God's using the imagination, but he's the one fueling it. He's the one dwelling in it. It's not just you. It's not coming out of the human side of you. But God is taking that part, but the best way I can explain it is he's dwelling in the midst of your heart. He's dwelling in the foundation of your imagination. He's dwelling there in love form, in rest, in dunamis. Your heart becomes a living garden. One of the reasons why this has not happened for us is because we haven't met the Father yet in the way he wants us to meet the Father. Because he said, before you start exchanging with them, listen, the Lord's Prayer was meant to be a glorious experience that you look forward to every day. Exchanging with the Father. Dreaming with the Father. It's a spiritual place that revolves relationship, not method and formula. But before that happens, he says, before you dream with the Father, let me introduce you to Father. Come and dwell with the Father. Because once you dwell with the Father, then you're going to understand the love that the Father's going to bring into the believing process, the center of the heart. Amen? Hallelujah. See, because a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. The treasure's got to get here. Amen? Once you learn to operate from this realm, you're going to move into the realm of impossibility with God. Isn't that glorious? Because when you're in there and the Father's dwelling in you, you're in a promise, you never, ever think it's not going to happen. There is no doubt associated with it because he's there. I remember when I first did it just by confession. I was learning faith just by sheer confession. I did it all out of this jurisdiction. All I did is wake up all day and just take these flip notes and just confess them all day long, confess them. No relationship. I was just a mechanical confession machine. But the Bible says, death and life are the power of the tongue. And eventually, those words just drove the mountain out. And during the time, during different seasons, I'd like to go back to that because it worked. It was hard work, but it worked. He broke the spirit of poverty in 11 months. Man, that thing wouldn't leave me alone. Dang. There was a strong man. Listen, if you got a strong man attached to your life, that's a good thing. Because he is your graduation. Because until you learn to whip him, you will not graduate. Because if you don't whip him, you're not going to get the next one that gets assigned to you. Don't be whining about your strong man. Learn what it's going to take to overcome him. Because you're not going to graduate until you overcome. You can whine all day and nobody going to lay hands on you and whip your strong man. Could you lay hands on me to whip my strong hand? If I did, he'd come back. Even if you drive him out, he's coming back until you get him under your feet. Amen. That's a good word. But I whooped that strong man And so I'd get different trials like that. I'm going to go back and do it this way. And every time I tried, just nothing would work for me like that. I'm like, God, that worked for me. I could sure use it right now. He said, that's not why I'm training you anymore. We're training for another place now. He goes, this one's going to revolve around your position with me. Dreaming with me. God's going to teach this church how to do this. The enemy is deathly afraid of you ever understanding how to operate like this. He doesn't care if you run around Christianity the rest of your life until you become effective. That's why he don't want you to go through the door. The thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy your access because he knows if you go in there very long, God's going to teach you how to dream with him. He knows it. So they came to the Lord in John 6 and they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said this. He goes, you want to work the works of God? Man, the Lord's just amazing. He can do it in one sentence. We preachers takes 10 messages. He can just do it in one sentence. He said, this is the single solitary work of God. Believe. Oh, thank you very much. That helped. Hallelujah. It always taken me 30 years to learn how to do that. Man, I'm quick. Sometime when the Lord would say that, he knew who he was. He'd been trained by the Father. The Father was dwelling with him. When he said believe, he wasn't just doing all himself. The Father was dwelling with him. Makes a lot of difference when the Father's with you. Big difference with you trying to exercise faith on your own and the Father dwelling with you. But believe. Say, believe. I remember one time I was at my spiritual father's and they were in a camp meeting and the Spirit of God come over me so strong. I was so stirred. They had a field in the back and I walked out in that field and I fell down on the field. I had a suit on and everything. I fell down on the field on my knees. The Spirit of God came over me. He spoke to me. He said, do you want to know my definition for believing? I said, yes. And this is what he said to me. I wrote it down. I've added a little bit to it since because of what I've learned, but it's pretty much the same thing he said. Ready? A state of seeing and saying from the realm of the heart that results in the manifestation of the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Did you get that? Want me to say it again? A state of seeing and saying from the realm of the heart that results in the manifestation of the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you. Now, seeing, Abraham could have looked at stars all day long. It wasn't enough. He looked at them for 24 years and got nothing. He looked at the sand for 24 years, got nothing. It's not until those stars got in here. To the heart, and he was able to close his eyes. He got into the dream center. See, because that was God's word to him. The God got up in the dream center, and then he looked in to the dream center, and God, dunamis, created power. By default, if Sarah received it, you know Abraham received it too. Dunamis conceived, and those stars became living inside of him. That sand, those descendants became living. That's how he got to the place against hope, believed in hope. Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would able to perform. Fully persuaded of wearing a dead body, but I am fully persuaded. He got to the place the dead body didn't intimidate him anymore. He got to the place where his dead circumstances, Sarah's dead womb, his dead body had no effect on him anymore. That kind of faith is where you got to get. You're not going to get that operating out of this jurisdiction. You got to get in God's jurisdiction. And you got to get God up in the heart. And when the Father gets up in the heart with his love and with dunamis, and you start dreaming with him there. It's my favorite part of my day to dream with him. We get connected into the dream and man, does it come alive. I had no idea it could be this real, this living. He's always there. He's just there. He makes it so special. You get to the place, I'm fully persuaded. And it doesn't matter how big it is. Because in this realm of the heart, when the Father's there, it's all possible. Because it's here, is where he says, you doubt not in your heart. You believeth in, a man believeth in his heart. Get out of the head, get in the heart. I don't know how to do that. Well, I have a lot of teachings on this. I'll teach you how to drop down. Amen? You get into this realm. Don't start with a heart. Start with your ascent into the Father. But I'm preaching where we're going next. Amen? Because you're going to start seeing some big stuff come down the pipe. And listen, when God manifests this, you're not going to be shocked. You already have had it manifested every single day. Because it lives in a living state inside you. Believe. Say believe. 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 Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is where? In you. You could say it like this. Neglect not the gift. Neglect not the promise. Neglect not the kingdom. Do not neglect what's in you in Christ. All right? That was given to you by prophecy. By the laying on the hands of the presbytery. So you can be dealing with a gift. You can be dealing with promise here. Don't neglect it. Amen. Now notice verse 15, 1 Timothy 4. Meditate. Say meditate. Meditate. Now meditation has gone a bit awry in our day. Listen, meditation was designed. Really what we're doing in the realm of the heart is a very high form of meditation with God, because he dwells with you in a state of meditation. Now listen, he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, give yourself wholly. You're going to have to give you. In fact, if you get into the Greek, you know what it means? It says, be in these things. Dwell in. Where? In. Philemon says the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. You don't acknowledge it, it'll mean nothing to you. You can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and go to a denomination that doesn't believe in filling the Holy Ghost, and within 3 months, you won't even be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. Though you are filled with the Holy Ghost, though you talked in tongues, you will lose the awareness of it because you did not stay with it. The kingdom of God requires acknowledgement, attention, focus, and awareness. If you don't focus, you'll lose it. If you don't practice awareness, you'll lose it. If you don't get in tune with it, you're out of tune. That's how people get carnal, they get in the flesh, and they just go on about their life because they lose the tuning. They get out of alignment, they lose focus, they get retuned into their old man, and they start living out of their old man with a religious veil on them. Happens all the time. Amen. Or you can go to a crazy church like this with a taco stand. And we'll teach you how to tune in to the Spirit. It's not nearly as weird. Listen, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm not weird. Amen? You can do this proper without getting weird. See, the kingdom, I don't venture anywhere in the kingdom unless his word reveals it first. If his word reveals it, I go in through the word, a revealed word. I move through revealed word. I do not move through experience. When God gives me something, if he gives me an encounter, he's going to follow it very quickly with his word. That's your safety zone. That's how you keep from getting weird. Amen. That's how we were led in the right hand of God. That's how I was led into this operation we're in right now. Powerful operation. Give yourself wholly. I remember when I got this revelation, probably 10, 12 years ago, we went to Universal Studios, and I remember we went into the Terminator. So we get in the Terminator. I didn't know what to think. They got us in these chairs and put these glasses, 4D experience. I mean, 4D is they're going to get every part of your senses involved in the situation. And when they were playing that guy, and he got his long finger and turned into a sword, and that sword when it came at you, because it was not just 3D, your seat was shake and smoke and everything and everything, and that 4D sword come right at you, the whole place go, ah! Man, people were flipping their glasses off because they got that thing where they could get that stuff in you. They knew how to bypass you and get inside you. They had it. So I took my glasses off during the Terminator experience, and it didn't happen without those glasses, see. I took the lens off. And the Lord brought to my attention, he goes, that kind of reality has been superimposed into you. But the kingdom is much like that. That the kingdom takes truth. That was a false reality. The kingdom takes a actual truth reality, something you're not walking in, something you don't have a conception of, but the kingdom imposes that reality into your spirit, into your heart, and you dwell in a reality of truth that's higher than this realm. And you have the same effect when the truth gets in you like that, and the Father gets in there, and the Word comes alive. It becomes reality. Sometimes I come in and out, I'm like, okay, which one today is more real, this world I'm living in or that world I'm dwelling in? Sometimes it gets that strong. It's that powerful. And what it does, it pulls you constantly back to it, because it's a way your spirit's being fed in that place. In a reality of truth, that the world, I come out and nothing around me has lined up with what I'm seeing in there yet, but it doesn't bother me. In fact, I don't even look this. I'm just totally immune to what I'm seeing here, because what I see used to when I come in here and I'd see the state of things, I'm like, and I would know where God's taking us, but I'm looking at him, I'm like, I'd get frustrated, upset, just all kinds of stuff in the flesh. That's my reaction to everything. But now I'm looking at things and I'm like, this is not reality anymore. And here is a greater reality with my Father. That's what Abraham found. He found that. Those stars got inside of him. He became fully persuaded what God had promised he was able to perform. Once he found that, it grows up. If you're not birthing something for your future right now, then all you can hope for is miracle come along. If you want to shift your future, don't go all the things in the natural to shift your future. Birth it. Get it working on the inside of you. And God will change your future and your generations. Be in these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give him praise, God. All right, go to James 1. I'll close with this. Now, this is a very, very, very powerful scripture. James 1 says, be you doers of the word. Your first inclination, all right, let's find the promises of God and let's go do them. And how that's going to work out for you. When I first went into that, the Spirit of the Lord said, why don't you look up that word doer? You know what the word doer means? Poet. Say poet. Be a poet. He's not talking about doing the word like you think here. He's actually talking about what I call the poetry of believing. He says, be a poet of the word and not a hearer only. Say poet. What does a poet do? I got a definition for a poet. It's a poet. It says, a creative artist of great imaginative and expressive capability. Do you hear that? Imaginative and expressive. But be poets of the word, not poets of the world. Take the word, a promise, and begin the process of poetry. What does a poet do? He'll look into something with imaginative ability and expressive ability, and he'll see and say what he's looking into, and he brings expression and life to it. If your promise doesn't get to that level, all it is head knowledge. Head knowledge is not what I'm talking about. The word will come in the form of life and it'll become creative. It'll come with imagery. God will seed your spirit with imagery. And when you learn how this works, you'll speak, you'll say it, you'll see it with imaginative, and it'll all be
grounded in the Word. It's the Word that brought the image, and you're attaching yourself to that image. See, when Paul Yong Cho knew he was going to have the largest church in the world, he had all the Word around that, and he began to live in that realm and see that. He would say, he goes, I could see myself. I carried it like babies. I could see that church a long time before it ever happened. I saw it being packed out. I saw the 50,000 seat sanctuary. I saw the people coming in. I know what he's talking about now. I'm not talking about just laying back and seeing in my mind. I'm talking about seeing in the realm of the heart. And the Father's there with you. Now, here's the difference. The Father comes to dwell with the heart. See, he brings the love with it. It's the love factor. It's the love factor with the promise that creates this incredible expression of poetic believing, is the best way I can say it. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, so you got a hearer and you got a doer or a poet. So what's the hearer? He's like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. And I'm thinking, surely you're not telling us to behold our carnal face in the mirror. Oh, I have to get back here and find out what I look like. Oh. He says, what's a hearer? He sees who he's supposed to be. He sees who he's supposed to be. Say, he sees it, but he walks away. He stops looking. His eyes get turned. He sees. Say, he sees. But then his eyes get turned away. He stops looking. But the doer, the poet, what's the poet do? He continues looking into the perfect law of liberty. Knows a perfect law of liberty, law of freedom and liberty. And I started meditating. I'm like, okay, he beholds his natural face in the mirror. And I, man, back in those days, I'd pace the floor. And so I'm thinking, I look up this word natural face. You know what it means? Nativity. 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 So he beholds his nativity face in the mirror. Nativity. And all of a sudden, I see this image, a little baby Jesus in the manger. And all of a sudden the light comes on. I'm like, whoa. He said, the hearer, he's going to get in front of the mirror of God and he's going to behold his birth of Christ face. He's going to see who he's supposed to be. He's going to see his promise. He's going to see his future in God. He's going to behold it in God. He's looking into the perfect law of liberty, but he walks away, gets distracted, and stops looking. Loses it and goes to look something else. But the poet comes along. He looks at his birth of Christ's face in the mirror. He looks at who he's supposed to be. He looks into his future and he keeps looking and he keeps looking. And all of a sudden, all the creative, expressive imagery starts building. And all of a sudden, you keep looking, and you're seeing and saying, and it's dwelling. And all of a sudden, this whole realm is coming to life. He never walks away from the process. This man will be blessed in his believing. You can go meditate that one. That's a pretty good one. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.